Welcome, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 20th of December 2012, and today I'm joined on the line from France by André Rousseau, who is the author of a new paper at the Journal of 9/11 Studies at journalof911studies.com entitled, Were Explosives the Source of the Seismic Signals Emitted from New York on September 11th, 2001? So, Mr. Rousseau, thank you very much for your time today. It's great to have you here on the program.
Yes.
All right, let's start by talking a little bit about yourself and your background and what qualifies you to write a paper about the seismic signals in New York on 9/11.
Okay, I am a researcher, a retired researcher in the National Center of Scientific Research in France. And my background is geophysics and geology. Particularly inner geophysics in gravimetry and applied seismics. In the last years, I worked particularly in the analysis of the acoustic waves in whales, in scientific whales. For example, I work on the San Andreas Fault in California. And particularly, I am interested in the applied seismics. In I studied the relationship between the stress, the in situ stress, and the nature and the shapes of the acoustic waves. In order to try to foresee the earthquakes, but it's a great problem.
I see. Well, obviously, you applied that background to study the seismic data that came out from the collapses of the buildings and the supposed plane impacts of 9/11/2001 in New York City. Let's talk about your paper and the conclusions that you come to. First of all, of course, you're examining the seismic data. What was the source of the seismic data that you used in that paper?
The source is a publication by the LDAO, which is exactly the Lehman Doherty Earth Observatory of Columbia University. By Kim. Kim is an American specialist for detecting the explosions, the nuclear explosion from the earthquakes. He published the signals coming from the Manhattan, from the New York, and the 9/11, with an explanation, which was the cause is the hit, the impact of the planes, and the collapses of the towers. But when I saw these signals, I was perplexed. It seemed to me that something was wrong, and I decided to study myself. First of all, I saw there was a difference between the starting time of the waves and the time of the event. But I was not the first person to see this problem. And for me, it is not now the most important problem. I analyzed the waves, and in my knowledge, I am the only scientific to have analyzed the signals. To have analyzed the waves, to this, for example, for distinguishing the body waves, the surface waves, because those waves are strictly representative of the source. This is the beginning of my work.
Well, how can you tell that the seismic waves that have been attributed to the plane impacts are not due to the plane impacts?
For me, we must distinguish the impacts and the collapse. Alors, the impacts, the waves created are surface waves, relay waves. Everyone agree with that. The problem is the frequency of these waves and the magnitude. The frequency is too low for simple impact. And the magnitude is too strong for an impact. In fact, this kind of, to get waves from an impact, you must hit something strong against something strong. Anyway, the planes are not strong. They are enveloped with hollow in the interior. And the tower, the core was strong, but the surface of the contact between the surface and the contact on the core, you have the void. It was a void. It is empty. You cannot get waves, simply waves, seismic waves with such impact. And the magnitude, a magnitude of two, more of two relatively to reach the Richter scale, it's a magnitude of an earthquake and explosive.
So to be clear, the magnitude is too large for the impact.
Exactly.
I see.
Magnitude and frequency. The frequency are an impact create frequency above 10 hertz. And here we are below 1 hertz.
So
below 1 hertz.
All right. So
for me, it's clear.
So that shows that the plane impacts could not have caused those particular seismic signals. How about the seismic signals that have been attributed to the collapses? How do we know that they were not caused by the collapses?
Alors, the explanations is different. As I said, to get seismic waves by impact, you are three possibilities. An impact, brutal impact, very strong, between two solid masses, solid bodies. First, secondly, an earthquake. And thirdly, explosives. The collapses lasted a long time. In fact, several seconds, even minutes. Or it's the source. The source which were recorded at the time of the collapses show that we must have a brutal hit. First of all. Secondly, the frequency is too low. The time of a shock is a fraction of a second, As you saw, the collapses lasted several times, minutes, and the total weight cannot be taken into account because the case could have been taken in consideration if it had been a meteorite, for example. So, because a meteorite is a big mass going down with a great velocity.
So the seismic wave indicates one big object hitting the ground at one point, but of course the collapse was a lot of debris hitting over a long period of time.
And there is other more arguments. You have for the tower, North Tower, you have body waves with seismic relay waves. The body waves, particularly the pression waves and the shear waves. The shear waves. To get shear waves, only explosive or earthquake can generate shear waves in the consideration in the environment of the Manhattan, the Twin Towers. Consequently, the fact that there is shear waves indicates that the explosive, you have only explosive, the possibility is only explosive, and the explosive were activated underground. We can distinguish for the North Tower because of the complete waveform, body waves and surface waves, we can conclude that the explosive were active underground.
So we can attribute the North Tower collapse to, or what was attributed to the North Tower collapse is actually an underground explosion.
The North Tower is were collapsed by subterranean explosives. It's not the case for the South Tower. Because South Tower, you have only, I couldn't see body waves. I conclude that the explosives were subaerial. I called that subaerial explosive. I mentioned that those explosions were heard by a lot of people, a lot of witnesses all around.
Absolutely, it's important for people.
For the Tower 7, it is the same thing. The explosions were subaerial because we have only relay waves, surface waves, and we can observe that two series of waves in the South Tower on the Tower 7, the laboratory has recorded two sub-aerial explosions. I must say that people, witnesses, heard a lot of air explosions in tower, inside the towers. So, but these explosions could not be recorded because all the energy was dispersive was in the air. There was no energy, seismic energy, propagating inside inside the ground.
That's right. And it's important to note that there are eyewitness accounts for subterranean explosions at both towers during both the plane impact events and the collapse events. So that what we've just been talking about was the collapses, but can we also attribute the seismic waves from what was attributed to the plane impacts as subterranean explosions?
Yes, the explosions. If you mean the importance of the explosion, the magnitude of the explosion for the at the times of the impact and at the times of the collapse are not the same. You have a factor of 10. The explosion were 10 times stronger for the collapsing the towers than for at the time of the impact. It was your question?
Yes, exactly. So, okay, so there is a difference between the two types of waves that were observed. All right. Well, what can you say about any feedback that you've received about this work from the scientific community or from any of your colleagues?
With my colleagues, we have tried to convince seismologists, French seismologists. It was curious because that depends whether people is manager or people is basic. the simple seismologist said that it is interesting, but you have to ask my boss, right? And the boss, because of his career or whatever, the boss either said it's false, or either I don't know. It is obvious that the people, the scientific people, did not want to give their opinion. In fact, it has been difficult to publish. You have several papers, several publishers. So, who refused to publish my paper? But he refused to publish my paper. No, because it was my paper is not good. But it is not in. How do you say that? The order of idea. It is not the program, because it is not the program of the published.
Right, it's not part of their agenda to address that.
Excuse. Excuse my English.
No, I understand. Well, that's unfortunate, but not surprising. So now that you've published this paper in the Journal of 9/11 Studies, what do you want to see as a result of this work?
The aim of my work it is to oblige the American administration to reopen the inquiry, the FEMA, the NIST, the official version is wrong. Everybody says that, but the administration does not want to complete or to reopen this inquiry. And my aim is to oblige, to force this administration to give more information. Because I am sure that a lot of people keep information in the pocket about the possible explosions all around the Manhattan at the time of the events. It is my aim.
Well, that is understandable, and I think there's a lot of different research that points to explosions at the World Trade Center that day. This is just another piece of that puzzle. So, Mr. Russo, thank you very much for publishing this paper, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you to you, Sid.